Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at siftedaswheat.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart. How is the average woman supposed to keep up? There's got to be an easier way to look younger than Botox treatments, yo-yo dieting, or plastic surgery. Arlene Pellicane, author of 31 Days to a Younger You, reminds women that they're never too old to trade their mundane life for a daily adventure, but they have to be willing to do something rather than just hope for it. Arlene believes women of any age can take simple steps to improve the quality of their lives without having to spend extra money on designer clothes, a personal trainer, or plastic surgery. 31 Days to a Younger You is filled with health and beauty tips combined with spiritual encouragement. The best part? It only takes 5 to 10 minutes a day for a busy woman to get their daily fix. Arlene is an author, speaker, and before becoming a stay-at-home mom, she was the associate producer for Turning Point TV with Dr. David Jeremiah. She's here today to give us some straight talk about beauty from the inside out. Arlene, welcome to Heartline.
Great to be with you, Rita.
Your book is titled 31 Days to a Younger You. No surgery, no diets, no kidding. Why is now a perfect time to make changes to look and feel younger?
You know, all of us women, many times we say, man, we look in the mirror and we say, what is happening to us?
So
instead
sure.
of waiting, you know, for the next season or, oh, next year, why not start today? And it can be very daunting to think, you know, where do I begin? Where do I begin with my health? Where do I begin with my mindset? So that's why I like the 31 days, because if I were to say to you, you've got to give up, and then you fill in the blank, you know, your vice, soda, this, whatever.
Chocolate.
I say, you have to fill that, you have to give that up for the rest of your life. You'd be like, no way. But if we said, you know what, could you make some healthy changes for 31 days? Then you're more apt to say, I could potentially do that.
Yeah, that's more doable.
Yeah. 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 I think a lot of it comes from your motivation. If you are feeling like, man, if I don't look younger, I'm not worth anything, then that's not the right motivation. Or if you have this pressure, you know, but if you were to say, you know what, why not be the best me that I can be? And simply by living a healthy life, that makes you a whole lot younger than a lot of the population. So I think that is a good motivation. And I know a woman, she's in her late 60s, and if you were to see her, you know, she's bright, she's peppy, she's well-dressed. And when I asked her, you know, why are you like this? She said, I am an ambassador for the king. My father is the king of kings, and I'm his daughter, and I represent him. And so I'm going to do my best to represent him in an attractive way. So I think that's a great motivation to try to stay as healthy as possible.
Yeah, great attitude.
Yeah.
What would you say to women who believe that the outward appearance shouldn't be their priority and people should accept them just the way they are?
Yeah, there's always some truth to that, because obviously you are accepted how you come as you are, and you're accepted as you are. But I like what one woman said. She said, you know, I'd like to come to work in my pajamas because I think I could get as much work done in my little cubicle. Maybe I could get more work done because I'd be more comfortable. And that would be just as I am. You know, here I am. I'm in my pajamas. I'm doing my work. Why are you complaining?
Mm-hmm.
But she said that would make me not approachable. You know, people would wonder, what's wrong with her? Why is she in her pajamas? You know,
she's mentally ill.
They don't know, am mm-hmm. I supposed to talk to you? Am I not supposed to talk to you? So, you know, to even think of being considerate to others, particularly even our husbands, if we're married, that, you know, of course women want this unconditional love, and that's understandable, but that can't discount a man's need that he is visually stimulated. And so for a woman to put her best foot forward, a wife, to put her best foot forward 20, 30, 40 years into the marriage is a good thing, and it's a considerate thing.
Mm. So how about busy women? Mm-hmm. How can these principles that you've outlined in the book apply to a busy woman every day in a short amount of time?
Yeah, because a woman saying, I don't have this
the time.
You know, 1 hour a day for the gym and another hour of a day to, you know, make myself look pretty. So that totally makes sense. So a lot of it is looking at your schedule as it is, fitting in that exercise. So for many, it might be, you know, once a week, I'm going to start carving out a time where I go to the gym or that I go walking, because you're going to spend that time either in the doctor's office in years to come, or you're going to spend it exercising and being proactive. So finding the little things that work. I know people that work out during their lunch hour, or they take walks. They have lunch and then they walk the rest of their time. So, you know, they bring a bag lunch instead of going out. So trying to find ways to save time so that you can spend more time with exercise. And then even little things that doesn't take a long time, perhaps even to go through your closet with a girlfriend who you find, you know, this kind of fashion forward, a girlfriend in your age bracket that you think, well, she always looks nice. Well, invite that girlfriend over for half an hour and say, rummage through my closet, will you, and tell me what's got to go and what goes with what, and try to see even with what you've got what you can do to improve your look. And these are things that don't take a whole lot of time or money.
Yeah, I think another thing for me, even as busy as I am and gotten busier as the years have gone by, is really watching my mindset about just like working out. Like before, it would be like I would have to do an hour workout.
Yeah.
And now I'm just accepting the fact that maybe I don't have an hour that day.
Yeah.
Maybe I've got, you know, 30 minutes.
Right.
And so if I do 30 minutes, or, you know, the other day I just did a 15-minute ab workout, that was okay. Like I don't have to always do an hour. So we get these things in our minds and we feel like we have to be rigid about it. And I think we need to be more flexible just with our schedules and our time management.
Exactly. Yeah, that you do what you can and you just maximize that moment you have, and not to worry that it wasn't perfect, but pat yourself on the back that something happened. That's good.
Because if our schedules aren't realistic, if they're not timely, you know, then we're not really going to stick with anything, because we're going to end up feeling so overwhelmed and boxed in that we're just going to let it fall by the wayside.
Yeah, it's much better to have those small incremental changes that you feel like, wow, I succeeded in that, than to make those grand marathon-type goals if you know you can't follow through and it's just impossible with your schedule.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the areas of the heart, mind, and body that you cover in the book?
Yeah, we looked at all of those things, because it's not only externals, it's not only internals. So, for instance, for your heart, one of the ladies talked about one of the tips would be to stay in community, that keeps you younger, to be with people who understand you, peers who you like. So there's a woman, you know, and we've all been here, that joined a new church and who signed up for the women's retreat, but she was so, you know, like, oh, should I do this? I don't know anybody. This isn't really my thing. You know, the last thing I want to do is just stand with a bunch of women talking, you know, but she knew she needed to make friends. And I remember her telling me, I sat in my car at the women's retreat, just scared to get out of the car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she called her husband and she said, honey, I'm sitting in the car and I don't want to go in to that group of women I don't know. And the husband said, you've made it this far. You've driven to the retreat center. Just get out of the car and meet those women. And this is the same woman who 2 days later on a Sunday was standing up in front of everybody with tears streaming down her face saying, I came here not knowing anyone, and I've just fallen in love with these women, and I have a place, and I want to serve in the choir now, and now all of a sudden I feel like I belong. And he was just a new woman to the church. So sometimes for our hearts, it's hard to begin, take that first step toward community, but if we can surround ourselves with people that understand us, we will be able to keep it together in our hearts so much better. So that's an example for the heart. For the mind, you know, as we age, we say, man, I'm losing it. You know, I can't find my keys. I can't find my glasses. Can't find anything. What is wrong with me? What's wrong with my memory? And so two tips along those lines. The first one is that it may not be your mind. It's just the system that you're using. You know, I am not organized by nature. So it's something as simple as having a system for my purse only goes in one of two places. It's either strapped to my side, or it's hanging on this hook, or it's sitting in that chair. You know, is putting systems in place where you know there's only one or two places your keys could be, or there's only one or two places your purse could be, and disciplining yourself to do that. And then you'll feel like, wow, I'm getting more organized. I'm not losing my mind so much.
Right. That's a
and
great
then
idea.
The other thing is just to exercise your mind. Many times as we get older, we're in routines. There's not a whole lot that our mind has to do that's extraordinary because mm-hmm. every day we do the same thing. So even saying, you know, I'm going to drive to work an alternate route, or I'm going to go to a restaurant I've never been before, or if you're at home with your family to do something as silly as, let's all eat with our non-dominant hand, you know, if you're right-handed, let's see what we can do with this left hand. So just doing things to mix up your day and keep that mind, working. And it could be something like doing crossword puzzles if you like that. It could be putting together Legos with your grandchildren or your children. Just things that will challenge your mind and things that you have to work through. So that's a fun thing to do.
Yeah, I think there's actually some online things that you can do that
yes.
actually, you know, exercise your mind in that way.
Yeah, you just put like brain exercise
yes.
into Google and you would get mm-hmm. a lot of different things. So even doing something so different like that for 10 minutes gives your brain those muscles a chance to work. So that is a great idea. And then we talk, of course, about the good old body. And I talk about my mom, who does not like to exercise. And like many women, you know, she's in her 60s. And to put her in the gym, that would be like torture. You know, why would she work out?
Why would I do that?
You know, with these strange machines in front of people you don't know. Like, it just is, you know, terrorizing. But what she did do is she enrolled in a spin class, which is a stationary bike class. And anyone who's ever been in a spin class before knows that you basically ride the bike until you feel like you're going to die. But she didn't know that going into it. And it was out of a neighbor's house. We had a neighbor who in her garage had all these spin bikes, and she was a personal trainer. And so my mom and I attended that. And it was really hard at first to get her to go and to get me to go, to be honest with you. But when we walked in that room, she saw a woman a few years older than her spinning on that bicycle. And she thought, my goodness, if that woman can do it, so can I. So in terms of exercise, don't feel like I'm too old, I'm too set in my ways, I don't know how to do that. There is something out there that you can figure out how to do. And if you can make it close to your home, so it's not like this big hurdle to get there, and if you can couple it with a friend or some kind of accountability, like I've got to pick this person up, or I owe this person a dollar at the end of the week if I don't go, you know, if you can couple it with some kind of accountability, that'll also really up your chances of succeeding in that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think people have to be mindful that I got to do something that's going to work for me. So what
yeah.
works for Susie Q may not work for me.
Yeah.
If it's something that I enjoy, so your mom enjoyed the spinning. Is she still
yeah.
spinning?
She's not. It's so sad. So she and I would go, you know, this was probably 8 years ago, and I had had my first baby. And so after a few months after the baby was born, then we started spinning. And so we were kind of helping each other. And then we did that for several years in between all of my pregnancies. And then now I've had my third and final child, and the spin class has not worked for my schedule, so I'm going to the regular gym earlier in the morning. And so my mom has dwindled off. So, Mom, if you're listening, it's time for you to get back in that
get back on
class.
That bike, Mom. But that's cool that she did it for, you know, several years. I mean,
yeah.
you know, she must have liked it.
Yes.
And
yes.
so that's the key.
And you know what? And that also shows you the power of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
When the accountability was gone, then she did it for a while by herself. But then there were other factors that came in. And so now she's got to get creative to find something new to do.
Right.
Yeah.
How can someone overcome a negative attitude?
Oh, isn't it true that that's the hardest muscle sometimes is our mind
mm-hmm.
to get through this. I remember we were walking through a store, and I had my daughter Lucy with me. She was about 5 months old. She was just really, really cute. She had this hair that just stuck straight up. And as I was walking by and with a shopping cart, a woman, a mother with two elementary school age children behind her said to me, well, it all goes downhill from there.
Oh,
just looking at the baby, you know, giving
really?
Me this sage advice, you know.
Great.
So I have dubbed her the Target lady because I met her at Target. So
mm-hmm.
I tell people, don't be like the Target lady
mm-hmm.
who's just constantly saying it all goes downhill from there, you know. After you have children, oh, you'll never be by yourself. After they graduate, oh, they'll come back. And then, you know, you get older. Oh, it's just going to, you'll never have the energy of your youth.
Yeah, some
so
people just see the glass half
like
empty.
That. Yeah, don't be like the Target lady. You're going to rob yourself from a lot of joy that you can have in the moment by commiserating over what you wish you still had. So part of it is living in the moment, saying, hey, you know what? This attitude thing about me just wishing everything that used to be was still, you know, that's got to go. So I'm living today. Today's my moment. And it could be putting scriptures on your mirror, bathroom mirror, that say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, or teach me to number my days that I may have a heart of wisdom. You know, surround yourself with truth that says, today's an important day. I'm still beautiful before God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made from the Psalms. And surround yourself with truth about yourself and pray. Ask God, God, change my mindset. I can't do this on my own. I can think positively as much as I can, but the thoughts don't seem to take root. So please, God, change my heart. Help me to be willing to see myself as you see me. Help me not to be hard on myself. You know, you think if you have children, if someone were to belittle your child, say, man, you've got an ugly child. I mean, you'd go nuts.
Yes.
You'd go crazy. And yet we stand in front of a mirror and we'll say, oh, we're ugly, or I'm so this, I'm so that. And yet we are talking about God's child. We are God's, every single one of us. We're a child of God. We're a creation of God. So even to have that perspective of, wow, I don't want to put that in God's face. I need to learn how to accept myself and say, you know what, if God made me, then I must not be junk, and there must be something here, and God, please help me to discover that.
Yeah, and I think that's so critical. I think we need to be very contemplative about putting the word in and really sitting with it. You know, not just saying, oh, okay, well, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now I'm on to the next task. Really sit with that. I encourage my clients to practice silence and solitude and really sit with those verses and ask Father about them. Lord, how does this apply to me? What do you want to tell me about my value and my worth? And really get that down into the recesses of your soul.
Yeah.
Okay, so what steps can a woman take to give herself a new look without spending a fortune?
Yes. A lot of it can be your friends that have, because we can be kind of stuck in the look that we have. It's hard for us to picture what else could I do with my hair? Or what else could I do with these clothes? And so bringing in friends that you feel like, wow, I like their taste, asking them, what do you think about my hair or clothes? And obviously, you make this a fun thing. Don't pick your critical friends that if they say something, it's going to make you mad, you know. So pick someone that you enjoy being with, or look at magazines of people that are contemporary and similar to you, see what they're wearing. And then, you know, there's so many great discount places now. Where I live, there's Marshall's, TJ Maxx, Ross, and so I know those stores are different across the country. But find those discount stores that, you know, you can get a new shirt for $15, you can get a pair of pants for $20, and take a girlfriend shopping and get yourself just a few pieces that are new and that are different, that are complimentary to you, and that you feel comfortable in. So it could be a shopping spree. It could be a, you know, go through the closet and kind of wade through that. It could be getting a new haircut. A lot of times new glasses will do the trick.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a friend who always has these nice glasses. She's probably in her 50s. And she says, when I go to the optometrist, I look for the girl that's working there that looks the most hip.
Yeah.
And then I go up to her and I say, could you please suggest some frames to me? And then she'll, you know, go get some frames that she wouldn't have normally picked out herself, you know, that kind of thing. So even updating your eyewear is something really simple to do that could give you a new look very quickly.
Oh, one of my best friends, she always had really curly, tight hair. She wore that hairstyle for years and years. She always wanted straight hair. She had considered doing the treatment, that keratin straightening treatment, finally got enough courage to do it early this year. And oh my gosh, she looks so awesome.
Wow.
And she got a new do, you know, they're letting her hair grow out now. She's got great hair. And it's just changed her whole look.
That's so fun.
Yeah, she looks like 10 years younger.
Yeah. And that's a good story because there is a little bit of risk involved.
Yes, you know,
changing
there is.
Your clothes and things like that, that's not that risky. But when
you start doing
your hair and different things, that's a little more risky. So good for her that she did that.
I know. So what's the single most important thing you think a woman can do to not look old?
This one is so encouraging because we all can do it, and it is simply to smile. Because you think of a woman, and even if she's not in the best shape and she doesn't have great, you know, clothes and all this, but if she is smiling from ear to ear, you think, like, what a young, vivacious woman. You know, the woman could be 80, and she's got a big smile on her face. And you think, oh, she doesn't look a day over 68, you know. So a smile is so important. And then the same is true. You could find someone who is very physically fit and attractive, but they have a sour disposition.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of a young woman, you don't think of her. You think, man, that's an old sourpuss woman.
Mm-hmm.
So a very important thing is to smile, because not only will you look more young and more attractive, but of course that joy also will come. And sometimes, you know, we laugh that we have to fake it to make it. We have a, when our kids were real young, if they were two, and they would command for milk, milk, you know, and we tell them, no, 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 that's not how you ask. You smile, and you say, milk, please. And so we'd show, and I thought to myself, my goodness, you can get a two-year-old to fake it, you know, milk, please, with a little fake smile on her face. But you know what happens. Eventually, she'll laugh and smile, and then her disposition is better. And whether you're two or you're, you know, 72, if you smile, even if you feel like this is fake, before you know it, it will become a genuine smile. So to really force ourselves when we see our spouse, when we see our children, our coworkers, put a smile on your face. It's good to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't necessarily feel that way, a customer service person at Nordstrom will put a smile on their face if they don't feel like it and say, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
So just even to allow ourselves to exercise that muscle of smiling, and then to know the more we use it, the easier it will be to find that smile, and the younger we will feel and look.
Mm. Are there certain beauty and fashion choices that seem to scream old lady that we should be avoiding?
You know, it's the a lot of times we want to go baggy because we think like we've got all these weird things happening in our body, so let's just cover it up and go baggy. Let's just cover it, and you know, and so even to realize, wow, if we go really baggy, then we look even kind of more old and more dumpy. So that it's okay if things are not so baggy, you know, and I'm thinking of, you know, your baggy sweatshirt with your baggy sweats. So instead of that, try, you know what, let me try to find some more flattering jeans and then maybe a different cardigan with a shirt inside so everything's not so baggy and so loose. And, you know, and the sweatshirts that say grandma or everyone loves grandma.
Oh, yeah.
So those are going to say, you know, I'm an older lady. And during when it's holiday season that you have all the embellishments and you're wearing Santa and your reindeer and all those kinds of things, that's going to say old lady. And then even you want to, if for instance, if your hands, if you're not that happy with your hands, if they have a lot of age spots, you've got a lot of wrinkles, you've got some arthritis going on, then you don't want to put a lot of rings and embellishments on your hands because then people will look at your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, you want to take that stuff off and, you know, put earrings on instead so people will look up towards your head and not so much at your hands. So the parts of your body that you feel like, oh, these I need to hide, then don't put a lot of stuff there so people will be looking at it. And instead, look at the assets that you have and what can you do to bring the eye to those instead.
Yeah, ramp those up.
Yeah.
What about stress? Stress is a huge killer of our bodies. You know, we can see it on people's faces, bags under our eyes, we're stressed, we're not sleeping.
Yeah.
What are some tips for relieving stress and making time for yourself?
Yeah, the first thing is to give yourself permission. Many women say, well, I can't do that. I've got too much to do. There's no way I'd ever have time to, you know, sit and meditate or go exercise. I couldn't do that. So the first thing you have to do is give yourself permission and realize, you know what, if I were to take a half an hour nap, I would be a much happier person for the other 11 hours that I'm around people and with people. So to give yourself permission to say, I'm not a super person, and once in a while I've got to recharge, and then figure out what's the way you like recharging. I like to nap. So if, you know, my husband will tell me, you need a nap, you know, and in the early days I'd get upset, like, what do you mean I need a nap, you know, but now I say, yes, you're right, I do need a nap, and I'm going to go right
now. And you can watch the kids while I take one.
Exactly. We have a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and an 8-year-old, and I'll say, man, I'm going to take a nap right now, thank you, you know.
Yeah.
So go ahead and give yourself permission to do that. For others, it might be a hot bubble bath. For others, it's going out to get a manicure. It could be taking a run. It could be sitting and listening to God, meditating. So think of the things that you like to do that rejuvenate you, that make you less stressful. And if you're finding, man, I don't have time to do any of these things, then you need to put it in your schedule, just like you would put in an appointment to the doctor, that you say, from 7 to 7:15, I'm going to be taking a walk around the block. And you tell your husband, your family, your roommate, whoever, you know, help me be accountable to this. Every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, I'm taking a walk around the block. And create new normals, because the thing is, if you carve out that time for yourself, it's just going to give you so much more to give to your family, to your work, and the things that surround you. So it's totally good to find ways to relieve your stress.
Oh, that's so important, because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
That's right.
Yeah. What about our diets, Arlene? That can be a struggle for women of any age. What suggestions?
Oh, it is. That's so difficult.
Yeah.
You think of that food that tempted Eve at the beginning.
Especially with the holidays coming. You know?
Oh, my goodness. This food that tempts us today. So I would say one phrase, it's all about access. It's all about access. You can have the willpower of steel, but I tell you what, if I'm looking at a spread of free food and it is all like dessert and sugary and all these things I love, I'm going to go nuts. And so it's all about access. So think to yourself, how can I limit my access to these foods? And so one, I would say don't buy them, because what's going to happen is you're already going to get so much food at parties and at different places. So if you also have a lot of this food at your house, that's not going to do. So don't buy it. And a lot of times we think, well, we're entertaining, we have to buy it. Then just buy what you need and then use it, and then maybe go to the store again and buy what you need and use it. Because if you have a lot of surplus around at the house,
you're going to eat it.
Mm-hmm. And then even don't take things home. You know, we'll be at parties and people say, oh, I can't finish this cake. Will you take it home with you? You say, no, I can't take that cake home with me. So try to limit your access, because if it's in your house, you will find it. And you will eat it. And I am so guilty of this. People think, oh, you know, you're thin and you wrote this book, 31 Days to a Younger You. My son, Ethan, when he was about 5 years old, he got a full bag of Oreos with the mint.
Oh, those are my favorite cookies on earth. I can't believe you said that.
I know. So that's what he got. And so I, as a good mother, said, oh, well, let me put these away. You're not, this is terrible. You can't eat all. We'll just give them to you a few at a time. And I put them on the top shelf. And every few nights I would eat, you know, two or three. And before I knew it, I had eaten through the whole bag and I hadn't even given them to him. And I thought to myself, I hope he forgets. And
about ate two or three. Dude, I could eat a whole row.
Well, yeah. I understand what you're saying. So, well, here I'm thinking they're his. So
yes.
I think I'll just take two or three and then he'll never know. And then so about Valentine's Day, he says to me, Mom, whatever happened to that bag of Oreo cookies I got for Christmas? And I had to tell him I ate them. And he said, the whole bag?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I ate the whole bag. And so he goes back, you told me the fruit of the spirit is self-control. You know, he'll say this stuff to me. I'll say, you're right. Mommy did not have self-control. So the truth is, if it's in our house, no matter who we are, we will find what we like.
Yes.
So keep it out of your house.
Oh, that's great, Arlene. This time is blown by. I can't believe it. Tell us how folks can get the book.
You can go to my website, which is arlenepelicane.com. And the fun thing about that is I'll give you a great price of $10 and I'll sign your book for you. But of course, the book's also available on Amazon and places like that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to share all of this with us.
Thanks, Reed. I feel younger just talking with you. It's been
fun. I feel like I've cut 10 years off my life, Arlene. Thanks so much. God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at siftedaswheat.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.